This episode of the Quick Pop Podcast is fueled by Ball's Guarana Soda. Ball's Guarana is a highly caffeinated premium soda that is infused with the natural guarana berry for an incredible taste and a super caffeinated kick. Ball's has fueled the days and nights of gamers and wrestling fans alike for over 25 years. Ball's Guarana is available in 7 amazing flavors, including Ball's Original Soda, Cherry, Root Beer, Orange, Ginger Ale, Cherry Cola, and Ball's Zero Sugar. Flavors are offered in the iconic 10-ounce bumpy bottle or the sleek 16-ounce can. For a limited time, Ball's will offer listeners free shipping on your next order when you purchase at www.balls.com. Use code QUICKPOP at checkout to receive free shipping on your order.
Welcome, everyone. We are quick popping and locking and dropping and stocking and hip hopping and Ace's tick tocking and Ron's drip dropping. And I ran out of lines. This is the Quick Pop Podcast. This is the Quick Pop Podcast. I, as always, am here in this seat with this microphone talking to you. I'm Jake. With me, as always, is the babyface Ace and the raunchy one, Ronald McWrestling. Hey, boys. How you doing?
I like that you used my full name. Thank you.
I know. I figured it'd make you feel like a big boy.
Yeah, I am a big boy. Ronald McWrestling. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little do our audience knows that that's the reason Ron got on this podcast. He sent in this application. It said Ronald McWrestling. How are you going to deny that man on a wrestling podcast? You don't.
Yeah. I like that. I sent the application to myself.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yes. That's why he was on here.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, that's also why he didn't get denied, you know, as a founding member. But yeah, like, Ron, listen, Ron doesn't play. He is very thorough. He sent the application to himself. He thought about rejecting it. He saw McWrestling. He's like, I can't reject that guy.
I can't do it.
Was like, your interview good?
I mean, what?
Did you have a good interview with yourself?
Oh, no, absolutely not. There were a couple red flags in the interview that, you know, but with the name McWrestling, like, you can't ignore the dedication to the sport.
I mean, true. You just don't want to get accused of nepotism.
I think with, like, nepotism, you would have to have, like, a father hand down a
like
spot.
Like wrestling?
Yeah, but I'm McWrestling. Like, I'm the only McWrestling in the world, as far as I know.
What about the McWrestling dynasty?
We don't talk about the McWrestling dynasty.
So are we saying Daddy McWrestling is off limits to this podcast? We don't need to get
first
it
off. Here it's Father McWrestling. Thank you.
Okay, my bad. My bad. I'm, you know,
and second. He's a heel. So
he is a heel.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he will not be on this podcast. We don't allow that type of shenanigans going on.
Yeah. I mean. Like, you're like, we're both tweeners. Ace is a face. I don't think that we necessarily need a heel on this podcast. And if we did need a heel on this podcast, I definitely wouldn't be reaching out to Father McWrestling.
Putting a heel on the podcast is always tough. It's kind of like putting like an evil character in like a D&D campaign. Like, you got to really navigate that carefully.
Yeah, I want to cut off someone's butt and make it jerky. No, we have to praise our sun lord.
We gotta move forward.
We have to move forward. Although, case in point, if there's anyone you know that wants to cut off someone's butt and make them jerky, I do think they need to be on the episode of the podcast. Just one.
Yeah.
Pure chaos.
No, there was a conversation this weekend about like eating actual human flesh, and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Well, okay, Ron, this is a wrestling podcast. Hey, no. This is a wrestling podcast, and we go off on tangents. Why are we bringing up that this weekend you or someone in your vicinity had a conversation about cutting someone's butt and eating it like jerky.
Technically, it wasn't someone's butt. It was someone's like ankle. And they ended up like cooking it and they ate it.
You know,
I regret everything that's about to come out of my mouth. Ron, how did this come up?
Now here's the thing. I could see the circles that Run walks in and runs in.
Okay.
That's not as out of the box as you think it is.
Isn't it though?
No, honestly, I'd say that's tamer than what I would have expected.
Well, I suppose. Yeah, it is, Ron. Never mind. You're right.
Yeah, that's the quick pop, quick minute.
This is a quick pop, quick minute.
This is a quick pop, quick minute. I'm just calling it. A WWE Hall of Famer will be entering the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on October 19th. Legendary musician Ozzy Osbourne was announced as their 2024 inductee. Osbourne was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2021. Lucha Libre AAA will be streaming their 2024 Triple Mania Monterey event this Saturday on Triller TV. This event is headlined by Alberto El Patron versus the Wanted Man Nick Nemeth to determine the AAA Mega Campeón. TNA Rebellion had several injuries during their show. Josh Alexander has severe lacerations and contusions to his ear. Brian Myers has a shoulder injury that requires further examination. And Eric Young suffered a laceration to his ear and needed a plastic surgeon to reattach his ear. Finally, Mace and Mansoor made their Soft Ground Wrestling debut. The duo flew to Uganda to participate in this viral promotion to help SGW and their number one babyface, Cool Man, defeat the dastardly heel, Lord White's colonial supremacy on the organization. And that was your quick pop, quick minute.
I also wanted to add, not as quick or, you know, minute-y, but I wanted to add two things. There were also some WWE releases. Zeely and the gender. We no longer have Juicy Mansoor. Gender.
Mansoor also got released. Well,
Mansoor has been released a while, though.
Yeah, and Mace got released.
That was it, Mace. I knew.
Mace and Mansoor had been released for a while. But, like, I just meant, like, very recently. Like, within the last week. Gender and Zeely got released.
We're finally gonna get Gender and Hook,
dude. Listen,
I gotta say, I feel bad for Gender after like really sitting down and looking at it and thinking about it. I know in our little group chat, I was like, "Oh, that doesn't surprise me," but like after really sitting down and thinking about it, I feel kind of bad for him. They just did not give him anything else to do.
Yeah, no, agreed. Like I was not a huge fan of his title run. But that is a dude that you could, they kept like almost making him a, like with a faction that would be like a good heel, faction. And then they just kept being like, we're not going to do anything with it. Like, so I agree with you is like, even though I may not be the biggest fan of his, I do think they kind of did him dirty and they could have did a lot more with Gender.
Well, you look at like, he stepped up on that recent Rock promo, like to be like the antithesis to the Rock, did well from what I could tell. And they still were just like, that was cool. Nothing else though. And I was like, come on now. Like, so I don't know. I felt bad that like when I started, I was like, oh, well, you know, sucks to suck, but I'm not really that bothered by it. But as I really thought about it, I was like, nah, you know what? He did kind of dirty.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to make mention of this, but this is literally something that I heard on the radio this morning. And the fact that you brought up the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is what's funny because it's relevant-ish. Before we get deep into the wrestling thing, this is like my one official tangent. Apparently, one of the nominees for it was also Cher. And she is apparently very upset by this because she's been like eligible for years and years and years and has never been nominated, to the point where like she's mad and said that if she were nominated and put into the Hall of Fame, that she would reject it and not show up. She said, quote, "Even for $1 million, I wouldn't show up. It's ridiculous that it took this long."
Okay.
And I thought to myself, you know what would be the most rock and roll thing? Because everyone was like, yeah, you tell him, Cher. Yeah. I think the most rock and roll thing would be to induct her anyway and just dare her to not show up. Because I promise it's going to look worse for her. Because rock and roll will be like, yeah, we don't care. Like, you want in or not?
See, I actually kind of side with Cher a little bit on this. I mean, either way, it doesn't really matter. But, like, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is just kind of like the WWE Hall of Fame. It's just for entertainment. Like, yeah. no one's actually there because it's like, oh, we are giving you this prestigious award. It's just one of those things.
Honestly, that, an argument could be made
right now.
And honestly, because an argument can be made, they're just now inducting Ozzy. Like, if you want to get upset about something, get upset about they're just now inducting Ozzy Osbourne.
I mean, it's who, dude, sometimes it's whoever pays them the most. Sometimes it's whoever was in the news that year. That's what I'm saying.
Like, my favorite thing is her. She goes, even if they give me $1 million, I wouldn't do it. And I'm like, bro, you share. Like,
I mean, dude, she got money. She don't need it.
That's what I'm saying. For her to be like, even if they give me $1 million, I'm like, look, if I had shares, fame, wealth, and fortune, yeah, I probably wouldn't be enticed by $1 million either. Don't make that seem like some big thing. You're like, yeah, I wouldn't even do it for $1 million.
Yeah, but so, I mean, all that is just kind of a BS award just to stroke egos and or help
Just
album sales. That's all it is.
It's just, and I understand that. Like, I'm not going like, wow, such honor. But for her to be like, it's ridiculous it's taken this long. Really, Cher, was that what you were sitting around worrying about?
Yeah, but I mean, you have to look at it this way. She feels that she has built up a dynasty. And you know what other dynasty happened this weekend? AEW's Dynasty, live from St. Louis, Missouri, pay-per-view.
I'm impressed by that segue.
You're welcome.
Golf claps all around.
You're welcome. Boys, let's start with you, Ace. Ace, did you watch the pay-per-view live?
No, I was, when it was going on, I think I was at a Buc-ee's.
Okay. Well, I know, Ron, I could
How did you enjoy the Buc-ee's?
Stressed me out.
Really?
Ace, you were in gas station heaven. How did it stress you out?
Because here's the thing. I had never been to a Buc-ee's. So this was like my first Buc-ee's.
Okay, fair.
And so every time my wife and her friend have gone, or like my sister, she goes, they're always there and they're like, it's them. And you can kind of like, they'll take pictures with, you know, Bucky the Beaver, and there's a few people behind them, and you're like, oh, okay. You're like, it's a big popular thing, but like, you know, you feel like you can breathe in there. Like, it's not like crowded. We went in there and it was like, the level of people that were in there at the Buc-ee's was like a Walmart during like prime Christmas shopping season level. It was just swarming with people. And I'm trying to walk through a gas station with a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. I was stressed out. So it could be gas station heaven. I can see the appeal. I also was not a fan. Let me clarify. If I went to there when it was not nearly as busy and I felt like I could like not stress about someone's going to like, I'm gonna just be real with you, stress about my kid just getting lost in a sea of people.
Okay.
If I had gone there just like by myself or just with my wife, I probably could have enjoyed it a little more.
Okay. Members of the podcast listening community, we are talking about Dynasty today. We will get to that. Ace, what is your problem with Buc-ee's? What is your beef? First, Kevin Nash, Jim Cornette, and now Buc-ee's?
No.
I have a problem with
Buc-ee's, like the swarm of people that were there at Buc-ee's. It's not specifically Buc-ee's, like the location.
So you're just like a regular emo kid. You love the band, but you hate the fan base.
I guess if you want to put it that way,
fun?
It was more like I'm in a foreign place, like, you know, hundreds of miles from home, trying to keep up with my two kids and my foster son. And there's just like swarms of people and he wants to run off and look at this and look at that. And I'm like, sir, I literally, and I mean this with like all the love for you as an individual in my heart, I literally cannot afford to lose you right now. Please stay close.
Oh, Lord.
You know, they make child leashes, right?
That's right. They make child leashes.
Oh, Bucky's has it. Bucky's literally sells leashes.
No.
They have the stroller. They have the leashes. They have they sell T-shirts big enough for two people to fit in. Ace, they had everything you needed to. They probably have anxiety pills. Ace, they have everything there you need to calm your ass so you can.
They actually didn't have anxiety pills. It was one of those weird things where, like, I made a joke of like, "Wow, what can't you get at Bucky's?" Because I was looking around, like, everything had a Bucky's logo on it, and I made the joke of like, "What can't you get?" And I was like, "I don't see a pharmacy."
Oh my god!
But you can't get leashes, like legit. You can get leashes,
legit.
You know what you can get though?
What's that?
A $20 bag of beef jerky.
Hey, do you know what Bucky's doesn't have and may never have?
Butt jerky.
There it is.
Butt jerky.
Full circle.
A 5-star wrestling match that you can only see at AEW Dynasty. Guys, let's get back into this pay-per-view.
A little forced, but you know what? It's probably for the best.
Hey, I did the better segue, and you just steered into Bucky's. So Ron, help me out though. You watched it live though, right? You watched it live, Ron?
No, I was at a show this weekend, and so let me tell you about this. Usually, darn when I go Bucky out on these like shows where I, you know, sell my merch and my wares, we have a tradition that on the way back from the show, we go to a Bucky's.
And oh, is that like a thing?
No, legitimately, you could ask my partner. We go to a Bucky's on the way back because we get the club sandwich, we get sausage on a stick, and then we get two large drinks, and then we also get the hot roasted pecans. That they have like next to the sandwiches and whatnot. You have to get it. So
I almost got one, but we were gonna go eat.
Yeah. So we ended up doing like we were at a Bucky's this weekend also. And I rather enjoyed my time at this Bucky's because they had all the food that I wanted and they had clean restrooms. And probably the cheapest gas. True. They had the cheapest gas in the area.
Okay, well, mine definitely wasn't the cheapest, but I'll give you the clean bathrooms. I'll give you that.
Yeah, so I had a really good Bucky's trip.
Again, nothing against the actual store itself. I think it was
just Mr. Like, Bucky's Beaver?
The literal, like, absolute, like, I don't know.
Temple?
Absolute throng of people that were there that day. That's the part that stressed me.
I did catch up with the some of the matches though. I, you know, to bring it back because you know we're talking about Bucky's and Bucky's is just so.
AEW Dynasty brought to you by Bucky's.
But legitimately, if you have never been into a Bucky's, you should probably go into a Bucky's.
Oh, I do have one gripe, and it was the location. Like, I don't know if this is all Bucky's thing. You'll have to help me confirm because I'm assuming you're going to more Texas based ones.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say? There are no Pepsi products at all.
Oh, no.
And in my mind, like, cause I'm always on the hunt for like new Mountain Dews or like limited runs that are like,
oh, available wait,
in random gas
stations. We do have Mountain Dews. We do have Mountain Dews.
Okay. I guess it was just an area I was in thing. Cause like no PepsiCo products at all.
Yeah. No. I think that's just you.
It was very wild. Like, I am very
wait. So you weren't in Texas? This
no, I was in Chattanooga.
Oh, those aren't Bucky's. Those are come to Texas and go to a Bucky's.
Hold on, we went a different direction here. Why are those not?
Because Bucky's originated in Texas.
Okay.
And they're the better Buc-ee's. We have the world's longest car wash. We're about to have the world's largest gas station with the Buc-ee's that's showing up actively, like 30 minutes from where I live.
The one that's out in Chattanooga. Although, hold on, I keep saying, so the one that we went to was actually in Georgia, but it's like in that region. But nonetheless.
Yeah, no, you go to a Texas Buc-ee's and it will not disappoint you at
I'll
all.
I'll find a reason to go all the way to Texas one of these days.
Yeah, I mean, if AEW will ever have a pape over here, which is exactly what happened this weekend with AEW Dynasty. Whoa.
We are just going to wrangle this sucker into place one way or another.
That was a sample of our new podcast releasing next week, Babbling Buc-ee's. Remember, nuck if you Buc-ee's.
I love that. Can we get that shirt?
I kept wanting to call it nuck if you
Buc-ee's.
I was with my mother, so that's why I didn't like push it too much. But I kept in my head wanting to go like, we go into Buc-ee's.
I've heard people say Buc-ee's.
I've not heard that, but I did often want to just keep calling it Buc-ee's.
Yeah. I mean, that could be something that could be used in one of Max Caster's raps that he did on AEW Dynasty, which was on Sunday night. Whoa.
Now, guys, y'all listen, how am I the one that is about to be the voice of reason? This podcast is making me angry because I have to be the voice of reason. Okay, so, yeah.
Have you ever been to a Buc-ee's, Jacob?
Yes, I have. I've been to multiple Buc-ee's.
Which ones?
Jesus Christ, Rob, no.
No, keep it up.
Buc-ee's.
People are here for the wrestling. Remember,
no,
Rob.
No. I'm gonna. Let's go. Which one?
Which ones did you go to?
The one in North Carolina. I've been to the new one outside of Nashville, and I've been to one in Alabama.
So you've never been to a Texas Buc-ee's?
I've never been to the Texas Buc-ee's. No, I've never been to the Texas Buc-ee's, Ron. You know what I think about the Texas Buc-ee's? I think the Texas Buc-ee's is straight up booty. And with losing a match against Will Ospreay, who took on Danielson this weekend.
You know, I was watching the Will Ospreay Bryan Danielson match. And, you know, speaking of Texas, there was someone that was like ringside the entire time. They weren't on like the hard cam side, but they were like near the announcers. I saw, and I pointed it out, I paused it, and I looked at Minnie, and I was like, guess what this is? And she's looking at it, and she's like, what is it? Because she's not a big like fan. And I was like, that is a number 7 CJ Stroud Houston Texans jersey that is on my screen right now at an AEW show. And she's like, oh, okay, cool.
Didn't impress her, huh?
No, but she was really impressed with the club sandwich that we got yesterday at Buc-ee's.
And speaking of the club, Bullet Club Gold is on the Acclaim for title versus title. Jesus Christ, guys, let's talk wrestling.
You know they had belts at Buc-ee's that like were red with like the logo and everything on it.
Ace, you do realize this is going to be the podcast that you're going to get a bunch of people like commenting and sending you notes being like, it's a wrestling podcast, right? This is... Did you guys change format?
If you bought that belt at Buc-ee's, it would have been defended on AEW Dynasty. But you know what red and yellow or red and gold belt was not defended on AEW Dynasty? The TNT Championship belt that was not defended. It was not defended on Dynasty. And you know who's holding it? Not Buc-ee's Beaver.
Guys, please talk about this pay-per-view.
We are. What are you talking about? We're here.
Okay, Tubbs, I know. Okay, Tubbs, I'm going to stop acting like I don't know what matches y'all did or didn't see. Ron, I know for a fact you saw Okada Kingston. What'd you think?
No, I didn't see Okada Kingston.
I thought you said you saw the Okada match.
Yeah, I saw the Okada match, but I didn't see Okada Kingston.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. The six man tag, you messed me up. Okada Pack. What'd you think? Somebody talk about wrestling on the same podcast.
Honestly, it was a very good start to the pay per view. I didn't see most of the pay per view, but I know that Okada Pack absolutely killed it. Okada had this really, like, he was playing it up like very, very smarmy. I know that there was a couple of moves that he did outside of the ring where he was visibly like laughing at Pac's pain, and it was like, oh my god, okay, Okada's just being like a bully. And then he goes for the Rainmaker pose, and he like he lunges down and he pops up, and you know, usually he spreads his arms out wide and then they do that really awesome like zoom out shot, and he just throws fingers up. He threw the middle finger up to everyone, and then the chants were like so good. Like that was a good crowd. And Okada, man, I guess I get disenchanted with Okada because,
really?
I know he's not going to be as big as he was in New Japan. I have that feeling, and it kind of is like, it hurts my heart, but Pat got a good showing out of it. It was a good match. I absolutely liked it. Great match.
I didn't, like I said, I didn't watch it live for the previous mentioned reasons,
yeah,
that we won't get into. But what I did like it was a good match. I'll just say that. Most of what I watched were highlights, so I don't think I got the full experience, like watching from start to finish.
Yeah.
But then again, I also didn't like buy the pape. If ever I watch AEW stuff, I go to like a friend's Discord.
Yeah.
And hang out. Yeah. So I didn't actively watch it either.
No,
so.
I pirate it.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Because like BR Live like sucks. I do know that a lot of people were watching it on was it Triller TV. And they said that it's honestly like one of the better streaming services. BR Live was Bleacher Report is absolute doo-doo feces. It's horrible. So that's why I always elect to pirate it. But Triller TV, I've heard like nothing but great things. But I pirated watching Dynasty.
It'd be like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
So, Ron, you didn't see the TBS title change hands?
What? Yeah. No, I didn't watch that. I did not watch that, no. I'm aware of it, but I didn't watch it change hands.
It was a fun moment for Willow. It was an okay match. In fact, I thought it was going to be a squash because I heard rumors going in that Julia Hart was injured.
Yeah.
But they put on a decent match for if she was injured and if whatever ailment she had. It was a decent fight, but good on Willow for finally capturing the AEW championship.
Yay. And then she's going to be transitional because once they have Double or Nothing, she's just going to pass it to Mercedes because they're paying Mercedes a heck of a ton of dollar bills, y'all.
Well, I mean, they just gave it to her because it's the rematch, the match that Mercedes got hurt in.
Yeah.
And I think the buildup, I think Willow is turning heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I think that will be very interesting to see Willow and Stat turn heel.
I like Stokely. I like Stokely a whole lot. He makes everything better.
He does. So, like, you put Stokely with anyone, he will make them interesting. Stokely's a ton of fun.
Now, I did see what happened afterwards in the Strong O'Reilly match.
Yes, Adam Cole is back and walking.
Is he cleared or is he still...
I am unclear. No one knew he was going to be there that night, so that alone. But the fact that he's walking around tells me there's a chance he probably will be cleared for or around Double or Nothing, in my opinion.
I saw him like staring daggers at Wardlow.
Yeah, yeah. They hinted very heavily that once he can wrestle, they're all going to turn on Wardlow.
Yeah.
Which, once Wardlow lost to Joe, we all knew that that was coming.
Yeah.
Also, that match was not a bad match. Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly. It was. If you've seen some of their other matches, it was similar to, but still very fun. Very reversal base.
Yeah.
The last segment of like moves and reversals leading to the end was a whole ton of fun. It was a very fun match. Listen, I know y'all didn't watch it. This was a great pay-per-view. I don't know what your problem is, Ron. I understand you have a career. Put your career on hold to watch these pay-per-views.
No, I was done with my career, and I was hanging out at a Bucky's.
Well, see, that's your problem. You went to Bucky's. Ace could have told you they're no good.
But Bucky's is amazing. Ace, what do you have? Why do you have a problem with Bucky's?
Again, nothing wrong with the Bucky's. Everything wrong with the people.
Yeah, well, people do screw everything up. Let's jump into the match everyone's talking about. And I know most of y'all have seen highlights or watched most of it.
Chris Jericho and Hook. Yep.
That's exactly what I was going for. Chris Jericho versus Hook. Chris Jericho versus Hook. Listen, I know you didn't see that, Ron. It over-delivered. I did not expect a lot out of it. Uh-huh. It was a very good match. It was a very good match.
I just see everyone was like, oh, really? So we're now putting another belt on Jericho.
Okay, so here's the thing. Now we're putting another belt on Jericho. I get that. But in that match, Jericho made Hook look tough as hell. And I think by beating him, you've now given Hook something to have to overcome. And I don't have a problem with this. Like, I understand some people like to knock on Jericho, but the whole point of Jericho being there is he needs to help and put over young talent.
Yeah.
He's going to have to beat them sometime, or else he's just the old guy that gets beat up by all the young guys, right?
Well, I think the biggest clamor that everyone has with Jericho is that he's, like, overexposed. Like, they're comparing him to when the WWE was trying to ram Roman Reigns down our throats.
Now, I can see that. I can see a situation where it's like you want not necessarily Jericho to be Brock Lesnar, but Jericho to not be having like a match every week and a feud on every pay-per-view. And I can get that behind that. I can get behind that you need at least less match time, Jericho. You know, like maybe promos every week, but not a match every week. I don't think he's pushed down our throats like Roman Reigns, though, because Roman Reigns at the time that people was rejecting him was supposed to be the guy. He was like main eventing. He was in all the major angles. I don't think Jericho has been in a major angle. If you have story tiers, I would say Jericho's been in story C and D in it for AEW for the last year.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's Roman Reigns pushing level, but I do, I can get that point. I just think that match was better than I expect it to be. Hook, this is the first match in probably a year that Hook has looked like the star we all thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a very well delivered match.
I'm going to have to spend time and actually watch this, tape from like beginning to end. I did not have time today.
No, you're fine, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about one other match you didn't see. Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm. It was very good. Yeah. Thunder hasn't been around in a while. So, and Thunder Rosa, I love her in the ring, but I also feel like she's hit and miss.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, this match could have went either way for me. I think this is one of, if not the best, Toni Storm title defenses since she's had the title.
Yeah.
I think the other one was last pay-per-view with Deonna Purrazzo. I think she is, I think it's not just her, but it's also the caliber of her opponent. I think she's just hitting on all cylinders right now. And I think it'd be interesting if this all led to, whether they want to do it on Dynamite or do it at Double or Nothing, a triple threat match between Tony, Deonna, and Thunder Rosa. Because right. I think that these three women have great chemistry together.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I've been impressed with Tony, and I think that they might run this up until All In. Just whenever Jamie Hayter is cleared, finally.
See, that's exactly what I think it is. I think Jamie Hayter is going to come back this summer,
yeah.
And I think it's going to be Hayter, Tony at All In. Yeah. I 100% think that. Because it will... We've already seen that match. We already know it's good, but like Toni Storm now has this new character, and come on, Jamie Hayter's super over, and you're going to be in England.
Yeah.
It writes, if she is able to go, it writes itself.
Right.
It's an easy book. It's an easy book.
You know what else is an easy book?
What's that?
The next match that happened. The dream match.
The Billy
Goat versus the Vegan Goat.
So you watch this one, right?
Yes. No, I've read that this was possibly one of the best matches to. I think Brian Alvarez said that this was the best match to be on United States soil.
So I will admit, about a quarter. Maybe halfway through the match, I was like, man, it's really technical. I was like, I may consider Katesha and Ospreay better, right?
Yeah.
And then the last half of the match happened. I said, never mind. Never mind.
Right.
Like, that other match had, like, maybe, like, a few, like, holy crap spots, you know, some crash spots and stuff. But the story they told, and I'm just going to get into it, the ending of that match.
Oh, with the Tiger Driver and the shoulder?
Not just the Tiger Driver, but even before that, like, they both hit each other's finishers, they're fighting back and forth, and then they both go to each corner, and Will just slowly pulls off his elbow pad to do, you know, the final blade shot, and then Danielson starts doing, like, yes to do the Psycho Knee, and they just run at each other.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that Will hits his first. Like, that moment there, like, was so good. So good. Just two guys that, like, they both tried everything, and they're just both like, okay, cool. One of us is going to hit this and win, and the other one isn't. Like, let's screw it. Let's just go for broke.
Here's my next thing now, because I think in a couple of podcasts ago, I talked about how... Like Cody, like the whole Cody Rhodes journey was like anime. Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson, also like anime. It's just two of the strongest dudes just going at each other, and they have spent every ounce of strength that they had, and they could only muster up one final move, and that was like the both of them just like charging at each other right at the very end. It was so cinematic. I loved it.
Yeah, no, it was anime. It was comic books. It was, you know, whatever you want to put. It 100% was. And then for what, like you said, like the Tiger Driver, and then him like not seeing the referee, and then hitting the blade one more time.
Yeah.
And the whole fallout of the match with Danielson, you know, like supposedly being messed up. They keep selling it by like. There's videos online of them taking Daniel, Will Ospreay, helping him into the back to the medical team, to the press conference where Will Ospreay starts off by apologizing and retiring the move and all of this stuff. So good storytelling, such good storytelling. And I hope they take this and run with it to where, since Danielson only has, you know, less than a year left before he becomes a temporary employee. He said he's not going to retire, but he, you know, like kind of a Brock Lesnar schedule.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they take this and like basically make it to where like he's not medically cleared, but he's like refusing not to wrestle. And so it's like wrestling against doctor's orders, and it's like he's fighting through like all of this, like it, like, yeah, no, they could do so much with this and make it such a great storyline and just make it like every time he goes out there and wrestles, just make it heartbreaking.
Yeah, only other thing, like talking about all this, is that how will they use this to lead up to what is supposedly going to be like one of the final matches he will have, Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness?
I mean, I can easily see it, is because like, so he'll be having like the neck injuries that put him out.
Yeah.
Nigel McGuinness, he supposedly, like I understand he also had the disease, but like one of the things that made him have to start wrestle differently was a neck injury from a match with Daniel Bryant. Mm-hmm. Danielson. So they could easily use that. Heck, Nigel McGuinness could just, I mean, he's been taking shots at him this whole time.
Oh yeah.
He could just straight up say it is like, you had the career I should have had, and I don't feel sorry that your body's finally given out on you because you were careless with the career you had. Like, if I would have been able to have your health, I wouldn't be in this position. You know, like, you could go that way. You could go just, like, cruel, where Nigel's just like, I don't feel sorry for you. You had all these gifts given to you, and you've just wasted them. You've just wasted them. Like,
yeah, that you're just a dog that refuses to quit. Allow me to put you down.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, but yeah, like, because if they have to do that match, they better do that match. Yeah.
But back to Will Ospreay and Danielson. I'm very torn. Like, I loved the match. The match was brilliant. The match was amazing. Honestly, I could sit here and be like, that was a 6-star match, but I don't know if it's my favorite, because I genuinely like Ospreay Omega too.
Here's the thing, is I've been thinking about this as far as like Ospreay's matches in AEW. I am going to have to go back and watch. You say Ospreay Omega 2?
Yeah, wasn't Ospreay Omega 2 AEW?
Yes, I'm glad you said that. But anyway, because I prefer 2 over 1. I know I'm the psycho, but whatever. but I think that one may have been better. I need to go back and rewatch it. Like him and Katesha is so
amazing. Close. Yeah.
But what I mean is so close in time that I can sit there and be like, oh, I think this one edges that one out, you know? But like, I'm going to have to go back and watch him and Omega to get like the full feeling of the match to say whether or not it is better.
Yeah.
Him and Danielson, but man, him and Danielson was good. And I wouldn't be, dude, if they wanted to run this back, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome. It was phenomenal.
Match of the night, possible match of the year. Like,
yeah,
you can't say enough about Ospreay.
Yeah.
And Danielson. But yeah, Ospreay. Oh my God.
Both of those guys together was amazing. And Danielson's one of my favorite of all time, but right now Ospreay's on another level.
Ace will probably not like that I'm about to say this, but Ospreay, like, with Ospreay in New Japan, and you also had Zack Sabre Jr. in New Japan, you wanted to see which one of those two would rise up to the challenge of being, like, the best guy. And Zack Sabre Jr. is Will Ospreay light. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like,
I mean,
Zack Sabre Jr. had great matches with Danielson, yes, but it was nothing like what we saw. It was both technical and brutal.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think also, listen, I'm just going to say it. I think Ospreay is better than Zack Sabre.
Sorry, Ace. Sorry.
Sorry, Ace. So not meaning to offend. But I also think Zack Sabre
and Danielson. Sorry, but I'll allow it.
I think Zack Sabre and Danielson was like a different match, because that's like a pure technical match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This match was a lot more of a technical brawl, you know? Like, because it was hard hitting. It was hard hitting.
Yeah.
I know y'all didn't watch it. I want to talk about the next match.
That was Bucks and FTR.
Yes.
I know the ending of it, but lead us up to it.
So y'all know when we were reviewing WrestleMania, how it's like, oh, that, you know, I didn't care for the ladder match because it just felt like your stereotypical ladder spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was not that. no, these two guys, especially in FTR, you felt like when they started that match, this was like, oh, the weight of the world is on our shoulders because we have to go on after Ospreay Danielson. And dude, they made, oh, okay, we're just going to do this spot where like you land on a ladder or like you fall off a ladder and hit a table. They made everyone feel so impactful. Like how Cash does that move, kind of like Big E does, where he, like, if you're standing on the apron, he runs and spears you on the apron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did that, set the Young Bucks move, and he just dove with all his might into a table, into the barricade. Like, there was so many spots where it's just like, okay, we're hitting a table, and FTR goes, no, we're not just going to hit a table. Like, you're going to feel how much this hurts us. Like, you are going to, it was just very good. They did a bunch of cool callbacks where, like, when the Bucks was climbing the ladder, and FTR is, like, trying to pull him off the ladder, and he's, like, kicking him, so then another member of FTR just, like, pulls off one of his shoes, so, like, so he doesn't have the full force like they did in the first match.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a few callbacks to other FTR Bucks matches and matches that they've had with like submission moves and stuff. There was one point where Dax, in my opinion, almost killed Matt Jackson because he was doing a pal driver onto like a ladder, braced between the ring and the barricade.
Uh-huh.
And so he went to do the pal driver, and you can see his left foot as he's starting to fall down, like kind of like kick the ladder. Like, I need the ladder to fall so that he doesn't land on his head. It was brilliant though, because like he kicks it and like it moves the ladder, but like, it's so smooth the way he does it. If you're not looking for it, you're just like, oh, the ladder like fell as he was doing the power driver. That's, you know, natural and stuff. But like, when you see his like foot kick it, you're like, oh, you just saved him because you realized that his head was under your legs.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but no, it's to be after the match that it was, it didn't like kill momentum. In fact, I think it raised momentum for the main event. And then you have the man in the mask, Sting mask, stop FTR from winning. And it's Jack Perry.
The scapegoat.
Have you seen the shot of that?
Yeah, where, oh, okay, there were two things I noticed. One,
okay,
like Jack Perry looks so smarmy. He was like, yeah, I did that stuff. And yep. Two, like, the security were so aggressive with this gentleman, and then when they removed the mask and saw it was Jack Perry, they literally had a, oh, come on, man. Are you serious?
I know, right?
Like, really? Yeah, no, it was funny.
Yeah. I thought that production of that reveal, him with the smarmy smile on his face, like you said, like, yeah, I did that. And the security guards being like, oh, it's one of the wrestlers. Well, you still have to get out of the ring. You know, like, I thought all of that, the camera angles for it, I thought it was a great production for a reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know people are upset that the Young Bucks won, but in all honesty, they should have won. Like, right now, they are rebuilding the Elite. They just did the whole angle with showing the footage, thus making them the most pettiest guys on the roster. They're hanging out with Okada that has the Continental title. They name-dropped scapegoat Jack Perry, so it's like, it makes sense that that was to lead into Jack Perry coming back. And yeah, it just makes sense that Perry's going to cost FTR the belts, and now that the Young Bucks are the champions, because like literally FTR's whole promo was how about like, if you don't like this place, like, and don't want to help build it, like, you little petty a-holes can like just get out and let us actually build this company into something worth something. So yeah, those guys don't win the title because they want to build the company into something. Who wins the title are the guys that are going to continue to be petty and obnoxious and quote unquote do things that aren't good for the company. Yeah, those guys win the titles so that then whoever beats them are the guys like reestablishing like glory and honor to the tag division and all of that. Yeah, you like what, however people feel about the Bucks, it was the right call and they are the right heel team right now to have those tag titles because you want to see somebody beat them. And there's always money in having a heel that deep down inside people are like, oh, I know it's fake, but I can't stand those guys.
Mm-hmm. Love that. I love that.
So
yeah, no, I'll have to go back and watch. And I did see the part where Jack throws up the three for the Elite.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, they're rebuilding the Elite now, and I'm digging it.
Yeah, I am too. Like when I first heard that they were rebuilding it with Okada, I'm like, well, I guess that's a cool way to introduce Okada and do the Elite. But I wasn't sure. Like I was like, but should they redo the Elite? But at the point they are now, yeah, they should.
Yeah, and it's Okada's taking the Kenny role, and I'm pretty sure Perry's taking the Page role.
Yep, he's going to take the Hangman role. Yep.
So I'm excited to see how this all turns out.
I 100% agree. I agree. And I guess let's go to the main event.
I did see this one. I did see this one.
Swerve Strickland as the Black Panther versus Samoa Joe. A Joe that is Samoan for the AEW World Heavyweight title. Ron, you saw this one. What did you think?
It was fun. I like the brutality that Joe brought, and then a switch just like flipped, and then it was Swerve all day, and there was a lot of desperation. The only thing that I kind of hated after a while is Prince Nana consistently asking about the house, who owns the property that they are in. And I was like, okay, I mean, let the fans do it, sure, but please don't provoke them, because it kind of like ruined some of the neat moments that Joe was having. So
he provoked him some, but like I agree with you, is it was a little too much. He did it too many times. I'll say this, I love Swerve. I thought he was a world champion material for a long time. I thought that gimmick in NXT, when they were supposed to go to the main roster, if Vince could have seen it, I thought that was already like okay, cool. This guy's going to win major titles. I will say this about his finishing move. I hate how set up it is.
Yeah. He needs something new because you know that when he gets in the corner and he starts doing a lot of the corner stuff, you know that the ending is going to come. And plus, not to mention, I don't really like the finishing move that he has.
I don't mind it. It just bothers me that it's like the guy has to like be in a daze, slowly half sitting up, you know, for it to happen. I really wanted, whenever Joe was in a daze and after he like grabbed his head, like, I can't believe I'm about to do this, I really wanted Joe just to flip him off right before he did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted the defiant Samoa Joe. I wanted Swerve to be like, oh my God, I'm finally winning the title. And Joe be like, I don't care. Screw you. Yeah. You know? And like Joe to just go out defiantly, but they didn't do that.
No.
But he does hit his finish. Swerve is the new AEW champion, the first ever African-American AEW champion. And it was a moment. And I'm glad that, just like at WrestleMania, they allowed that moment to breathe.
Right.
They allowed him to take it in. They allowed you to watch him take it in. They allowed you just to see all the people reacting to this moment, because this moment is a big deal. Like in any company, when you can have a champion that is a first of whatever, whether it's the first heavyweight champion, period, or the first champion of a certain race or gender or whatever. Like, it is a big deal, and it should be a big deal in any wrestling company.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. We knew that Swerve's time was coming because, oh my gosh, like, if there was anyone that was, like, moreover during, like, this new era, this new period of AEW, it was definitely Swerve. Like, consistently had banger after banger after banger, consistently performed to the top. And then we started seeing some of the sadistic stuff that he got into. Like, we brought back, like, former kill shot type of stuff. And so good. Like, if there's anyone that deserves the top prize in AEW, it's Swerve Strickland.
Oh yes, hands down.
Yeah. He needs to change his finisher. I still believe that he needs to change his finisher, because for a moment I thought that Swerve wasn't gonna get the win because it's so close to the ropes.
You agreed.
Could, you could easily get that rope break, but
yep.
But yeah, no, he, like, oh my gosh, all he needs to do is something like really cool in the middle of the ring. Call it the Killmonger, because I mean, if he's going to come out of Black Panther, you know, let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. So here's the thing, Ron. I'm going to fantasy book for a second.
Okay.
I think that pay-per-view was the start to lead us to All In AEW World Heavyweight Title, Swerve Strickland versus Will Ospreay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
That's where I think we're going.
All right. You're grilling. Chef Jake over here. Wow.
I think Ospreay's first AEW title shot will be in London against Swerve.
Oh my gosh, that would be cool. That would be cool.
I think that would be a banger.
Yeah. And it's not like there's not going to be any shenanigans, because you have Mogul Embassy, and then you also have the Don Callis family. Like, it could be something huge. But you know, I'm devouring what you're cooking.
Yeah, I mean, but also it'll be interesting, the road, if that is the destination, the road to get there, because I feel Hangman's going to come back.
Yeah,
I feel like we have one more match in Swerve Hangman's Forever feud. If Adam Cole is good to go, I think since Wardlow could not win the heavyweight title, I think him and the Undisputed Kingdom are going to want that belt.
Yeah.
So I think you may get a Cole Swerve match. So, yeah. Yeah, I think there are a lot of very fun potential matches for Swerve.
Yeah. 110%. I'm still waiting for the day that MJF returns.
Yeah, I think it'll be sometime this summer. Yeah. I can easily see Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Because
the most recent one that they announced is on Long Island, isn't it? For Forbidden Door.
That is Forbidden Door. That's in June. Double or Nothing is Memorial Day weekend in May.
That's what I'm saying. I could see.
Forbidden Door. Yeah, that's true too. I could see
because it's in
Door.
Long Island.
Because it is in a Long Island. You are correct.
It's in Long Island. Yeah.
So yeah. If they want to let him hang out a little bit longer, then yeah, they may wait till Forbidden Door in Long Island.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense as well. That makes a lot of sense as well. I think one of those two pay-per-views is when he comes back, though, because if Adam Cole's walking around, that means it's not long that he'll either be ring ready or he can at least take bumps. And if he can take bumps, then you can have MJF like trying to get to him and everyone stopping him. Cause I wouldn't be surprised if we stretch that feud out until All In as well. And then you have like a blood feud match between them two, like be it a cage, no disqualification, a Texas death match, something.
Yeah.
because I think that's definitely going to happen.
I'm here for it. I'm here to see, you know, what they plan on doing with like everyone on their roster. So let's see what happens. Yeah, no,
it definitely was. You had Will Ospreay and Danielson as a match of the year candidate. I think this is a pay-per-view of the year candidate. I think people like to rag on AEW about their weeklies. I enjoy them, but I do see like the flaws in it. And I do see how some people would be like, yeah, but this and this and this. When it comes to pay-per-views, man, they put on one heck of a show.
Yeah.
They put on one heck of a show.
You know, just to bring it back, Long Island. You know what Long Island doesn't have, though?
A Buc-ee's.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
I knew it. I knew they didn't have it. I knew it. So that means MJF doesn't know the wonders of Buc-ee's.
Well, he doesn't like Texas.
Oh, he probably hates Buc-ee's. Dude, Ace, are you friends with MJF?
Not yet.
I think Ace is slowly, through his Buc-ee's rants, going to try to create a wrestling stable of friendships with like Zack Sabre Jr., MJF, and these other people that hate Buc-ee's. And it's not a bad move, Ace. It's going to get you over as a heel, because once you start talking that Buc-ee's ish with these guys, no one's going to like you. No one. I mean, your wife may divorce you. Your kids are probably going to look at you oddly that you don't like Buc-ee's. Like, it's going to be real heat, brother.
I genuinely love Buc-ee's, and it breaks my heart, Ace, that you.
I swear to God.
Look, I'm just saying that you had like you had the world in your sight, and you couldn't, I don't know, just enjoy it.
You're right. I didn't have the world in my sight. Because of all the people.
Well, remove the people.
That's illegal. That's called murder.
Take your kids to a corner of the building, make sure they're nice and secure, scream bomb, watch everyone run out, and then the Buc-ee's world is your oyster.
Right.
This has been the Quick Pop Podcast.
Do 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 do. Oh, okay. Buc-ee's is an American chain of conscious orgasms and electric vehicle charges created by Arch Beaver Outfit 3rd, headquartered in Lake Jackson, Texas. The chain was founded in 1982. This began expansion with the first travel center in New England in 2003. The company began expanding outside of Texas. With an opening location in Baldwin County, Alabama, and since opening locations in Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina, Tennessee, Colorado, and Missouri, with new locations planned for North Carolina, Mississippi, Ohio, Virginia, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Arizona. Buc-ee's.
Love gets you Buc-ee's. Okay, podcast over, I guess.
That bass line was really cool. I never got to that part.
Make sure that you're following us on all of our social medias, including Twitter at Quick Pop Cast, Facebook at The Quick Pop Podcast, and Instagram as well at The Quick Pop Podcast. Any of those are great ways to reach out to the host of the show, and we'd love to talk to you as well. We are constantly speaking on current events and would love to hear your opinions on stuff too. So get in touch with us today.